It's interesting that Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 in the Old Testament has been one of my favorite scriptures for many years. So let's read those verses now. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." Can you imagine that? And by the way, I've always liked the little chorus that came from these verses. I don't know if any of you know it. I can't sing, but it goes something like this. "I see the Lord, I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. He is high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy. The angels cry, holy is the Lord." Now, as we know, the Old Testament foreshadows the New Testament. So what verses in the New Testament are these ancient Isaiah verses foreshadowing? And more importantly, what do these ancient Isaiah verses mean to Christians today? For example, we know that Isaiah was talking about the Jewish temple in Jerusalem when he wrote these verses. But the Roman army destroyed that temple in 70 AD and didn't leave one stone on top of another. And of course, it was never rebuilt. So where is God's temple today? Or to ask that question a different way, what temple is the Lord's train filling today? Centuries after Isaiah, the Apostle Paul answered that question in a letter to the Christians in the city of Corinth, Greece. Let's look at Paul's answer now and see it's in 1 Corinthians. And here's what Paul said, and I quote, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? God's temple is sacred, and you're that temple. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you and who you receive from God?" Now, sometimes I ask people what the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is, because I don't think you can tell Christians from non-Christians by their clothes, cars, careers, income, or any other worldly measure. Instead, I think the only difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is a spiritual one. I think it's that a Christian is indwelled by the Holy Spirit and a non-Christian isn't. Now, let's apply Paul's spiritual principle to these Old Testament verses in Isaiah that we've been reading. Remember, the first half of verse 1 says, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne." Notice that Isaiah says a throne, not the throne or his throne, but a throne. I've always thought this was an Old Testament foreshadowing of the New Testament miracle of indwelling. Remember that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says that when the Holy Spirit indwells us, He glues Himself to our inner spirits. And that's what makes us Christians. But indwelling's only half of God's plan for us. Remember, millions of Christians are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but many of them don't have much spiritual power. Have you ever noticed that? So I think the second half of God's plan for us is in the second half of verse 1. That's where it says, He was high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Now, the Hebrew word for train in this verse refers to the hem of a high priest's robe. So, how can the hem of a high priest's robe fill our temples, our bodies, today? I've always thought this was a foreshadowing of spirit filling. Because if our bodies are God's temple today, then we need the train of the high priest's robe to blossom inside us and fill us, don't we? And after all, who's our high priest today? It's Jesus, right? He's the one who's indwelling us with the power of the Holy Spirit, right? So when we're spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit spreads the hem of the high priest's robe inside us and fills us with supernatural power. That always reminds me of the little Campus Crusade for Christ tract years ago that was titled The Four Spiritual Laws. Does anyone remember it? It showed a little chair with a little cross on the floor beside it. And it said that God needed to be seated on the throne of our lives. Then it showed the little cross up off the floor and sitting in the little chair. I think that's exactly what happens when we're spirit-filled and the high priest's robe fills us with supernatural power. Jesus' robe fills our temple with spiritual power. Now, exactly what happens when the Holy Spirit fills us with supernatural power? I think verse 3 in the Isaiah scripture foreshadows what happens when it says, Holy, 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 the earth is full of His glory. I think that when Christians are spirit-filled, they are holy, 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 and filled with His glory. Can you imagine what it would be like if we and all of our friends and neighbors were holy, 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 and filled with glory? And of course, that's God's will for us, isn't it? Because in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul said, It's God's will that you be holy. God didn't call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. So to summarize, what all of this means is that the sign or the mark that proves that God's train is filling our temple, in other words, the mark that proves that we're spirit-filled, is when we're living a life of purity, righteousness, and morality, right? Think about this. In the Isaiah scripture, where the seraphim are flying over the throne, they aren't calling out, smart, smart, smart is the Lord. Or they aren't crying out, creative, creative, creative is the Lord. No, instead they're crying out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Now, when the Lord's train fills our temple, it will make us smarter, and it will make us more creative. But above all else, it will make us holy, and it will fill us with glory. So here's our last point. I think we're only effective as Christians in the proportion to which, in the extent to which, God's train is filling our temple. Whatever we're doing as Christians, it could be leading a youth group, or singing in the choir, or serving as an elder, or playing a musical instrument, or serving as pastor, or simply attending a worship service, will only be effective in the degree to which God's train is filling our temple. So why don't we close by praying for that? Let's pray that as Christians, our inner spirits will be filled with the power and the smoke of spirit filling, and that all of us will be more holy in our daily lives. Let's pray that right now. Lord God in heaven, we pray right now for peace, hope, and purpose that the first Christians had in the first century. We pray to be spirit-filled. We pray to be holy. Lord, we pray for your train to fill our temple. We pray for the smoke of your supernatural power to shake the doorposts of our lives, and that you make us more effective Christians through your indwelling power within us. Grant this prayer to us this very day, we pray. Amen and amen.